This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Speaking of fiscal restraint, this is a nice segue. I feel sorry for the guy. I'm going to drop this on him. But speaking of fiscal restraint, with us now is our Senate President, Ty Masters, who actually is a guy who's actually passed tax cuts, who knows a little bit about fiscal restraint. And I'm sorry to drop you in the on that rant, Ty, but thank you for joining us and Merry Christmas, brother.
Well, Merry Christmas. You probably owe me one because I had technical difficulty getting in, so I apologize for the late entry.
No, you're fine. You're fine, and I hate to drop you on a hard intro like that, but I get riled up when I start talking about the billion-dollar tax increase I know you live out in Butler County, so you're not having to deal with it as much, but boy, I tell you, I get fired up when I start talking about that billion-dollar tax increase that they're trying to pass here.
They had me interested when they were talking about doing the majority of it for property tax relief, but man,
yeah,
what I've seen so far is, I have to say, pretty disappointing.
No, and that's where I was. When they first proposed it to me, I was a supporter. I was like, well, yeah, if you could do revenue neutral or 60-40 or even 50-50, I was with them. And then it came out 82-18, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Talk about a bait and switch.
All right. People forget there's two sides to the ledger.
And
spending's a big part of it.
Yes. All right, so we got two main topics that I wanted to talk to you about. A preview of the 2026 session and the Chiefs. Which do you want to take first?
Oh, you tell me.
Since we had Joy on, we had Joy Akins on in the last hour, and she's actually the only of your fellow gubernatorial candidates that I know of who's been opposed to the Chiefs deal, but she's been pretty critical. I mean, she came out pretty heavy in that last hour and was pretty critical of the Chiefs deal. And pulled no punches. I mean, she says it's not going to be good for Kansas. It was, and there have been some. I mean, I brought up the Tax Foundation report that points out that by and large these things have not been overly successful, and that they tend to only benefit the areas immediately around. That it's questionable if they benefit the state at large. It's a lot of money. So what do you have to say in response to folks like Joy who are concerned that this is the juice may not be worth the squeeze?
Yeah, I get it. And I mean, where I have a little grace for them is they don't fully understand the deal, right? They think you're using existing tax monies and it's a net loss, but that's just not how the program works. And you can look back at the Speedway is probably the primary example, right? But major moves like that, take that type of thing, and it's only built on growth. So, and just the team shifting over, because not just the stadium, right? It's the headquarters, it's the practice field. So just the income tax collections off the team alone, you know, in that $30 million range, and they've been talking about. So there's no net loss to the taxpayer. And the people even in the district, that whatever that Starbucks district is, you go to Walmart, you go to, you know, grocery store, or whatever, you don't see any difference because there's no tax that's being raised. You know, they're not just like sales tax goes up, and you have all the activity and the benefit. And I think, I mean, we can just agree to disagree. They're on the outside looking in. Net, we were losing money to Missouri.
I did try and point out to her the income side of this is something that I don't think they're factoring in, because there's a lot of potential on the income. Yes, we're not going to get the sales tax from this for maybe 20 years, but the income tax alone from the people who are living there, the revenue generated from that, all the jobs that come with it, the jobs that may be created from concessions from the players themselves to everything that comes in, that's all new income, correct?
Yeah, 20,000 construction jobs, and you got nearly 4,000 estimated permanent jobs between the stadium, the team itself, the headquarters, and then people forget it. There's a $1 billion commitment in private mixed use development investment that's all around it. All that activity stirs and builds. Growth is good. Growth is a good thing. And so, and for us to be able to acquire that without having to raise a single tax, I mean, it's quite a deal. I was about to say there was 60% of the box holders and season ticket holders of the Chiefs are Kansans, and that was all going to Missouri. It's time to just bring it all home and build up around it. And Kansas is capped. I mean, they're capped at that, and the law allowed for 70% of the infrastructure. The deal was cut at 60% of the infrastructure. And it's going to pay off early the way that it's designed. So I just don't understand the complaint, unless you're just somebody that's, and I get they're just 100% against any type of public-private partnership. And we just have to agree to disagree.
So that is new. I thought it was 70, so I didn't realize you guys did cut it lower than what the original proposal was, didn't you?
Yeah, final deal was like 60.5 or 61%, not 70.
That's new.
If there's any cost overruns, that's on the team. If there's any, the billion, that's on the team. All that outside development's on the team. If they leave early, they have to pay the entire thing back with interest.
Okay. So, see, a lot of this stuff, we just don't know about a lot of this stuff.
Right.
And I think this is part of the other issue here, is there, like you said, there are a lot of people that are maybe, just on the outside, haven't seen the details. At what point will folks start seeing all the, because it hasn't really been papered yet, has it?
No, it hasn't. And all of it's kind of becoming available. And I'm actually, myself and the team, trying to put, as I'm hearing some of these things, because there's new things. I heard one yesterday that, a lot of the state has to put $1.8 billion down. And like that's completely false. I don't even know where that came from. So we're coming up with a sheet to really have the truth about the deal. And I like Joy, but, we're in a political battle right there. She calls me the, I can't remember what it is, kind of the career politician or whatever. And so that's more different than her being a career board member of the school board. I mean, we're in a battle, right? And so there's going to be criticisms to try to gain footage.
What do you think the chances are? And I know, I've talked to Dan, and he'll be the head of the LCC going into 2026, and he's made it pretty clear the deal expires here in a couple of days. Royals haven't taken up the options. What do you think the chances are of the Royals doing something?
Well, I do believe they want to come to Kansas and committed to Kansas. It gets, you go past the 35th, it gets difficult for them because that is the deadline the LCC set. And Dan, we trade control of that House to Senate every year. And next year it is the House and Dan is the chair. But there is a technical question or a legal question because the law itself doesn't expire till June 30. So it gets very difficult after the 31st.
Well, and you don't want to bugger up this deal by trying to redo anything. That's the key.
Yeah, no, and it's, and if the choice was, deadline's the dead Chiefs or the Royals, there's no question. I think everybody involved would choose the Chiefs.
Oh, sure. It's a bit, one of the things Dan and I were talking the other day, and I have to ask you about this. It was kind of funny because I know how much work that Dan and you and the House and Senate tax chairs and the Commerce Secretary or the Commerce committees were put into this deal. I did find it really kind of funny when Laura Kelly came in at the last minute to take credit for the whole thing. Wasn't that funny though? Because it was like she came in there and said, "Look at all this great thing that I did." In reality, she didn't do anything.
Oh, the reality is it was worse than that. She almost cost us the deal multiple times throughout the year. So, but that's not, she is a politician, right? She's a governor. I mean, you're going to come in and take credit for everything you can. I mean, it's the same way when she talks about bragging about signing a bipartisan bill, which can't sign anything else for a Republican legislature. She can't do anything but what is bipartisan.
Right. Right.
That whole thing started in the legislature, right, with enabling legislation. It ended with the LCC, with the tush push over the line. It was just a, but hey, you know, can't blame her. She's got the bully pulpit, run out and take as much credit as she can.
All right. Yeah, it's like she took credit for the tax bill and the sales tax on food, and she didn't do anything for either of those either. But, you know, that's what she does. We've got a quick break I've got to take. Do you mind holding on through the break, and then we'll talk a little preview about 2026?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, we'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then we'll get back with our Senate President, Ty Masterson. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, make sure to like and follow me on Facebook and True Social, and find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. With us still is our Senate President, Ty Masterson. Ty, thank you for sticking around through the break. So you guys go back, what is it, second week of January, so Monday the 12th. Got a busy session. This will be the budget year, obviously. And there's a lot of stuff coming up that you're going to have to deal with when you get right back. Can you kind of give us like your top three items that are on the agenda for 2026?
Yeah, probably top three, as you mentioned, Eve, right off the top is the budget, right? And we have to continue as we've cut taxes. You're right. We took tax off Social Security. We've gone to we're headed towards a single rate income tax and lowering that rate. So we're coming off all the stimulus money has now disappeared, right?
Right.
Dealing with inflation. So we've got to trim another couple hundred million out of the budget. Last year was the first year we actually spent less in subsequent years. We put $200 million less last year. We need to do another $200 this year and probably another $200 to make the ends meet and control it the way you should, right? Working on your spending side as much as anything else. So that's number one.
Amazing how that works. Would you mind calling the city of Wichita and explain to them how that works?
So that's going to be a big job. Number two, we're still hoping, very hopeful, we'll get a property tax cap amendment out on the ballot for everybody to vote on, because, you know, we need to be able to stop any kind of rapid increases in property tax. And we also need to figure out a way to stop killing people, taxing an unrealized gain, right? The long-term, homeowners. But those are big issues. I'd like to get a property. The only way to really do it is to get a cap. And to do that, you have to have a constitutional amendment. So we'll be working on that. That's probably number two. Number three, definitely at a minimum, looking at what the Big Beautiful Bill did with some educational choice, some federal tax credits. We want to make sure, you know, they left the first layer of that as a function of could be approved by the governor. Well, we know our governor's not going to approve it.
No.
So we're going to try to find. We think we have mechanisms the legislature can do so Kansas can participate, so our Kansas parents can participate in at least that level of school choice. But frankly, to have any kind of real, you know, opportunity for our trapped students and parents, we're going to have a new governor. So.
And I know a lot of discussion's been put out there about trying to fix the appraisal process, because that seems that's really a stealth tax increase. And there's really the only way to tweak that would be at the state level, too, wouldn't there?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, ultimately, that is we have to change, have a constitutional amendment, because what happens, especially since you had all that massive inflation, right, all that false money, the printed money that came into the system through the stimulus, all that massive inflation. And so the home prices went way up.
Right.
And the problem is that's not a real gain.
No.
I mean, my own neighbor, you know, I mean, his house might actually be worth what that massive gain was. So he might be able to sell it, but it's not cash to him, and he can't sell it because he's got to go buy something else to live in. And so he's trapped, right? That's taxing somebody on that unrealized gain, and we have to figure out how to minimize that.
Yeah, exactly. It's only worth that if I turn around and sell it, and then I'm homeless.
Yes. Everybody gets that in stock, right? You mean you bought your stock, and your stock price went up. You're not paying taxes on that elevated value until you sell it. The difference is a home is way different. That's where I live. If you sell that, you got to go buy something else, or you're homeless.
Right.
And so we have to figure out a way to mitigate that. And that's something I am hyper aware of and trying to figure out.
What, one of the things, I guess the other two things, one of which was recently might have put you in a bind, because the Trump administration reclassified marijuana from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3, which basically put it down to the equivalent of Tylenol with codeine. It's still illegal. People don't realize it's still illegal at the federal level. Is that something that you're inclined to take up, or do you think that that's, I mean, where are we with this?
Well, I'm here's a couple of things. I'm still trying to understand exactly what that shift means, but I have already learned, I mean, it is still illegal. I mean, if what I think I'm optimistic about is the research that allows for.
Yeah.
Because what you really don't, you know, you have people telling you, oh, it's this miracle drug, and telling you people it's this, you know, terrible gateway to something. I am bullish on, let's get the research. But I feel like the research is going to show you, because, you know, there's so much synthetic entry into the market. You know, there's all these synthetic drugs now that, you know, you can get a hold of at even these CBD shops. And so that's not a good thing for our society. So I need to understand it first. What that tells me, though, is that going down to Schedule 3, if it becomes FDA approved, you can sell it through a pharmacy then.
Right.
So you can have all this research. So I still want to know more. I'm still not a proponent of any kind of recreational marijuana. So you have to have, I mean, you need, if it truly, I'm bullish on getting the research. That's what I like about what happened. But the point is, people think it's now legal and it's not.
No. And I'm kind of where you are. I mean, look, if we're going to do it, then let's find legitimate reasons that are prescribed by a doctor and dispensed through a pharmacy, and not, you know, I remember when Mike Pompeo used to talk about his son went out to UC Berkeley and called him and said, "Dad, half the students in my class have glaucoma." And that's, you know, that's not what we want, because this is not your, you know, Willie Nelson's ditchweed anymore. This stuff's highly synthetic and a lot more potent than it used to be.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're talking with Senate President Ty Masterson. What about, this is, I know it's a sticky wicket for you guys, I know, but what about redistricting? You know, the president sure wants it, but that may be one of those juice ain't worth the squeeze type of issues.
Yeah, well, I mean, just personally, I'm 100% for it, because I think, but I mean, the Senate had the votes to come in for special session. You know, it all, you know, devil's always in the details. There's nothing unethical, immoral, unconstitutional about, you know, mid session redistricting. It's just, and I would like to see us trend more towards the direction of all four of our congressional districts generally represent Kansas. And I tell my friends that are all worried about it, Kansas has, if you look at Kansas as a district, it's elected a Democrat governor, Republican senators. I mean, what I like about that is you actually have the debate. What tends to happen in politics is you draw deep red and deep blue, because everybody who's elected wants security in their elections. Well, when you have that, you don't have vibrant debate about the issues. And so, I mean, some of these guys are in districts you could win laying in a casket. That's not healthy. You need to be able to have a vibrant, and I'd like to see that. And that's because I believe, as Republicans, conservative Republicans, if we debate the issues, we win. Our ideas are better. And so that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see all of our districts not have a safe blue district for Sharice Davids, or for that matter, such a deep red district in the Big One that you can't ever have a vibrant debate. So I would like to see us actually take it up. Now, I don't know where the votes are in the House. There were a handful that didn't, of Republicans that didn't want to come in for special session. So optimistically, I would like to see us take it up. But I know it becomes pretty complicated because it isn't just me. I mean, the president does want it. You know, the White House wants it. The RNC wants it. Our congressional members have all come out in, well, our Republican congressional.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah. In favor of. So, but you know what? I told my senators this. It's not unlike we take up the House's map, right? That when we take up the House's map, it's a map that they have sent to us that is approved by a majority of its members, not all of its members. And it's not our job necessarily to take up their districts. We're going to vote up or down. And this is the same thing. We had a majority of our congressional district ask for us to redraw. I said, I don't see why we shouldn't, and cast a vote.
Yeah, well, and we'll see. I know when I talked with Dan a couple weeks ago, he pretty much said, you know, if I don't have the votes, there's no point in doing it. And I get that. And I think it would be a distraction. At the same time, you know, I think there are a lot of reps or voters, rather, who'd like to see where people stand on it.
That's the way I see it. And you know how it is. You've been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
You more than many understand. It's different to say, yeah, I don't think I have the votes, let's not do it, versus actually cast the vote.
Right.
Yeah. And see where people are, because that's a different dynamic.
Yeah, I'd like to make people take a vote, but I've always been in that. I don't like to look, put them on the record. I'd like to know where people stand. But
that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
we live and die by how we vote, right? In what we do, and so let's cast the vote.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same mindset as you are. But do you anticipate this being I know it's an election year, so I'm assuming you're hoping that this is a brief session, in, out, done, and get them in and out. Do you think it's going to be another quicker session like you've had in the past?
Well, I can tell you this, it ain't going to be just a hope. You know, this is the even year where our Constitution calls for 90 calendar days unless you have a super majority to override it. So I can tell you this, this will be a 90 calendar day session or less.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured, especially with everything else is going on. The last thing you need to do, I know there's another couple of the constitutional amendments that folks want to get on there, but I think you guys are going to be in, out, and done, and then back to work and everything else that you've got on your plates. But Ty,
we just need to tackle the big things and be done with it.
Yep.
And by the way, a vote, in my mind, a vote against redistricting is a vote for 2 years of impeachment.
Yeah, that's the problem. That I sure would hate to see Kansas in a situation where, you know, we lost control of the United States Congress by one vote.
Mm-hmm. But, and we did nothing.
And you did nothing, which is a possibility. Let's hope not, but yep. You know, we won't know. I know that we're going to do our Under the Dome segments with you and Dan starting in January, and we'll have you on the show again when that happens. But in the meantime, have a happy New Year, brother. And if folks want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
MastersonForGovernor.com.
That's what I was hoping you'd say. And good luck with that, too. I'm sure we will see you. I know I'm going to have you on the show here in January, but we'll also have you. We've got you coming back in at the end of January for the debate as well. But we'll talk to you before then as well, my friend.
Have a blessed 2026, man.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.